Mr. Philip Veracruz was one of the Filipino farm workers who served as an officer of the United Farm Workers Union. He was originally a member of the Agricultural Workers Organizing Committee of the American Federation of Labor, which in 1966, together with the National Farm Workers Association, formed the present United Farm Workers Union in a merger designed to unify the farm workers and thereby strengthen the then raging grape strike in the Delano area of the San Joaquin Valley. Philip resigned from the union in 1977 and presently lives in Bakersfield, California. In the interview recorded in these tapes, Mr. Veracruz discusses aspects of his career as an officer of the union. The interview, conducted by Albert S. Bagdayan, took place in Bakersfield between December 30, 1989 and January 2, 1990. Well, Phil, I understand that you originally did not come to the United States as a farm worker, but you, of course, ended up being one, and not only that, ended up as being a leader in the farm workers' movement. And lately concretized in your participation in the United Farm Workers Union. Could you comment or could you talk about how you became a farm worker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, Albert, it's kind of a sad story that I belong to a poor family in the Philippines. And then it was my desire also to have an education, because that's the only way I could see to get up. And then also I was influenced by the American teachers that I got in high school, that there was an equal opportunity for students, poor students in the United States, working their way through college, you know. And so I was influenced on that, and so I came to the United States with the intention to further my studies. The reason was that because I didn't have the means in the Philippines, and so it was kind of an alternative to come in. Mm-hmm. And because I believe what my teachers were saying. Mm-hmm. However, when I arrived over here, well, it was kind of a different story, because it looks like the equal opportunity for education applied only to the whites, you know, because through the history or historical experiences of the Asian people, you say, among the Chinese, you know, it was very hard for them also. And then here comes the Japanese, which went through the same experiences. And then the Philippines were the less immigrants. And the hatred of the whites was kind of keep on them, you know. And so it was not really kind of possible for us to go and pursue our studies here when we didn't have anybody to depend on. We were sub-supporting students, and mostly were from the poor families. And so while we came to be students, we became laborers, you know. Of course, it was not the farm that I got into first, but I was really spent my first years in cities, so I was in the north, and so that's why I was really employed as busboy and so on and that, you know. Mm-hmm. And in restaurants, And of course, that is could be said that it is an unskilled labor. Mm-hmm. Because for a busboy, you know, can just learn that in 1 or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you know, and so on and on. Then you know how to pick up the dishes.
Right.
So,
yeah. So then how did you move from being busboy to being a farm worker?
Well, in the time that I came to the United States, as we were called the first wave of immigrants, of Filipinos, well, while I was in I was in Spokane and moved to Chicago and still working in restaurants, you know.
Right.
And then the Second World War broke up. And so even if we were considered as nationals and ineligible for citizenship in the United States, well, we were drafted into the army to serve the country, to fight for the country. Because at that time, you know, the Philippines was under the jurisdiction of the U.S. government, you know, and so we were not independent. So I guess it was appropriate for them to kind of draft us and say that we fight in the army for the Philippines and for the United States. But the true reason is that the United States and the Axis, Japan, Germany, Italy, were really fighting the United States, not the Philippines. And then when they moved me to San Luis Obispo in California, well, because I was then about around 38 years old, so the government had decided that older people, draftees, should better be more effective in working in defense industries rather than to be in the army, mm-hmm. or in the armed forces. And so I was kind of released with the others to go and work in Vallejo. And then I was also given the chance to spend about 15 days to see my relatives and something like that, because I didn't have any families. Well, you see, I happened to learn that I got relatives in Delano, and I went and visited there, and then they were short of labor in the farm, because the Filipinos had been working there, were already in the farm, most of them were already in the armed forces, in the army, in the navy, and so on like that. And so they told me that I don't need to go to Vallejo, because my boss was also the president of this growers, Kern County growers there in Delano, and he could fix it. So he was my first boss. His name was Gutnitz. Mm-hmm. And so then I became a farm worker. And when there was some kind of problems in the farm labor, then I was also included, because I was already a worker in the farm, you know.
What year was that when you went to Delano from the army?
Oh, that was 1940. I was drafted in 1942. And came, and then I spent about 8 months in the army. And when I went to Delano in
1943. Yeah. And you came to the United States when?
I came to the United States in the, 1926. I think it's May 16 or something. I'm not so sure now. But
May 16, more
yeah.
or less.
Yeah.
1926, and how old were you at that time?
Well, I figured I was around 19 to 20, I guess.
20.
Because when I left, I got a friend who was an inspector in the prison. And you see, the rule in the Philippines at that time was that you cannot vote until you are 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not vote.
I see.
And so I was between 19 and 20.
Yeah. For purposes of record, when was your birthday?
Oh, December 25th.
25th, yeah. 1904.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you were a farm worker already, well, starting in 1943.
Right.
And when did you first get involved in agricultural unions?
The most significant was I was involved in the asparagus strike in Stockton in 1948,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that was kind of a widespread strike of Filipinos, just Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
And I said Stockton because the headquarters was in Stockton, mm-hmm. but really all these outlying areas around Stockton, you know, they were involved. So I forgot the names of these towns there now. Elton was one, and I was working in Byron, which was about 16 miles north of Stockton. And there were some other places, you know, there, but I cannot remember right now the names of these places, but it was a big strike. And at that time, I was still supporting my brother going to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was worried about the money that I got to send, because he's already in school. And I didn't want him to, lose his chance to get educated and to finish it. And so I got worried, and then I have to leave the strike, because we have been paying our rent in the hotels and so on like that. The union was not giving it.
Mm-hmm.
And so my cousin also was involved, but he was also supporting his sister and brother going to college in the Philippines, you know. And so we decided, he had been going to Alaska, working in the salmon industry, and so he told me about it, and then we went together to Seattle, Washington.
Leaving the strike to continue.
But they lost in the strike.
Right. So then...
And that was Mensalbas and Mangawang. Mangawang.
Mm-hmm.
Were involved. Mensalba was the president of the local in Seattle, Washington. He was the president, and Mangawang was the business manager.
I see. Well, so that was the first significant involvement that
in
you had.
In the union in agriculture.
Right? That's right. And when was the next one?
Well, the next one was, the most significant was when the Southern Tenants Farmers Union, which was headed by H.L. Mitchell, and he was the president, and also the vice president was Henry Oswald. And the organizer that worked with us was Bill Becker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why they moved to Delano was the strike of the National Farm Union. Anyway, the National Farm Union was a offshoot of the Southern Tenants Farmers Union. Because they were not only organizing sharecroppers anymore, but they were also organizing farm workers. And so as the strike in the Dejuri farms ended, then they kind of scouted, you know, north, and to Delano, and I was working in the Mid-State farm then, at the time, I think, I was working for Marco Sanervez at the time. And we got into mass meeting in which Mr. Hasuar was there. And I don't know if he was there, but one of them was there, maybe Baker. And Hasuar was there, I think. Because Baker was, I saw Baker after the convention of this Southern Tenants Farmers Union in Fresno. And when I moved into Delano, the Filipino Farm Workers organized into this National Farm Workers Union. And it happened that I was notified about it and through a friend who was a barber, though he was a college graduate in the Philippines, you know. I forgot the name now.
Posadas.
Posadas, yeah. And then I went, and he was the temporary chairman, and then he suggested that he moved, that I should take this place. And then I was nominated for president and I was elected. That's the way it happened, you know. And that was the most significant involvement of myself then in the agricultural farm workers union.
Okay, so Hank Hasuar and other people from the National Farm Labor, National Farm Workers Union, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Came to Delano after the de jure strike to organize Filipino farm workers.
In Delano.
In Delano.
Yeah.
And you came out to elected as the president
yeah.
of the Delano local.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there were a number of locals too, but this later on kind of disappeared.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. And so that local of the National Farm Laborers Union, I think, laborers unions, were mostly Filipinos, is that it?
Oh, yeah.
You hated.
And then we were some blacks, and the vice president was black.
Mm-hmm.
And then
whose name was?
Leonard.
It was Leonard. Okay.
Yeah. And then I got some six Mexican friends, and I got them into the union. Of course, one of the officers of the Southern Tenants Farmers Union was a Mexican, Dr. Mm-hmm. Ernesto Galarza.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked like Galarza was speaking above the heads of the workers, because they said that he was a good speaker, but I couldn't understand the terms he was using. You know, he was using some, educated phrases and words and so on like that, and beyond the understanding of the common worker.
Mm-hmm. You felt that yourself, in spite of your good understanding of English, you felt that yourself about Galarza?
No, I'm talking about the Mexican.
Yeah, okay.
So he was not effective, really.
Mm-hmm.
He was not effective as a
factor of getting the Mexicans here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I got 6 friends, and then I got them there. And then one of them was also a close friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I suggested I be the treasurer, secretary treasurer. You see that? Yeah. Only 6 Mexicans, but one was an officer.
Right. It seems to me like...
And also a few blacks, and the vice president was black.
Yeah. Right. It seems to me like that is continuing the tradition of the Southern Tenant Farm Workers Union.
Oh, yeah.
In trying to be composed interracially.
Yeah, right. And so when it comes to that, Filipinos are not so touchy about positions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no possibility that 6 Mexicans can put up an officer, mm-hmm. secretary, treasurer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also the blacks were just a few,
yeah.
you know, that you could count them on fingers in one hand, can put up a vice president, you know. But the Filipinos are good enough. They want everybody to be represented.
Yeah. Was there a lot of enthusiasm for this union on the part of the Filipinos?
Oh, yeah. And then one thing that I don't find in books that were written about the United Farm Workers history is that they overlook the participation of Filipinos who have been involved in different farm movements as far as Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
You know, and also, I also kind of regret the absence of the mention of the Asians, like the Chinese and the Japanese, Koreans were involved, and others. They are not in the book.
Yeah.
And so I would like to say something. Which is really in return for their help to build the union, you know. Now, the contributions of building a union, of course, are not the same. They have different fields of knowledge and so on and that, in training and experiences. And also, that all depends upon what kind of position they have to serve the union.
Yeah.
And also, but then, no matter how small, the contribution is a part of the whole struggle and should be mentioned.
Right. So how long were you involved with the Delano local of the NFLU?
You see, I was in a kind of a, economically, I was in a bad shape. And then I made a mistake of a friend of mine, where we belong to the same lodge, the Gran Oriente, that we also got a place, a recommendation on our brother, which really was not helping, and that was Joe Lillis. And then we lost in the business, and I spent quite a lot of time there, you know. And it was a really a bad experience. Now, what was the question was?
The question was, how long were you involved?
Because of the business, you know, I have to quit.
Mm.
And I couldn't even attend the meetings then. Mm. And then this Dulay, what's his name?
Celestino?
Celestino Dulay became the next president.
And then eventually, of course, NFLU receded in the background as far as labor unionism in California.
And in not so long after that, that the union had kind of gone, you know, no more.
Yeah.
I don't hear anymore.
Right. So then, of course, you continued then as a farm worker?
Yeah, but I still, during that period when I was no longer president, Becker Galarza had been coming over there. I was talking to them. Yeah.
So, when did you get involved with the agricultural workers organizing committee then?
Well, at that time, I was already living in this grove because I bought a few properties there before. And I already left the mid-state company, which is situated just in Kern County, across the county line between Andrew line between Tulare and Kern County, you know. And now in the other side, yeah. In Tulare County.
Right. Now this mid-state was a company whom you worked for a while as a foreman?
Yes, a foreman, yeah.
Okay.
And then when I left, I worked for this,
Radovitz,
Jack Radovitz. And then at the time, they went on strike. But there was a Filipino there who was a cousin of...
Who went on strike? The AWOL, you mean?
Yeah, the AWOL, yeah.
I see.
Before that, before the strike, there was a Filipino there that was kind of a neighbor because I got a small house for rent in his side over there, and when I was kind of watering the trees there, he was talking to me and said, "You remember the union now, you know?" So, and I was surprised because see, I never heard about union before, you know. And then I was busy. I said, "No." I said, "Well, when did you be a member?" So I got a few dollars in my pocket and he said, "Yeah, sure." I gave him, and so he brought me the ball. So I really was a member of the union 1 year before the strike. Then I heard about the strike, you know, and I was working for what I call Jack Radovitz in there in Risgrove. And then we were in the truck. Some were taking some jobs, you know, and said, "Emilio Dacio, you know, did not come to work Monday." And one of the guys there said, "What's the matter with you? You got 2 days vacation and then you still need another one?" "What did you say that?" I said, "Well, you did not work yesterday, Monday, you know." And he said, "You guys, you know, you sign something for the union, but you don't do your job, you know. You don't do your what you are supposed to do when you sign, you know." And I said, "Well, I signed, and I did." And then, of course, Dashi always play cards every night, and he knew he heard the news of his strike, or we didn't. So, the next day he came back, Tuesday, and that's the way the job came in. And then he said, "How come this strike is not ended yet? It just started and you're here working now." And he said, "Well, because you guys, you don't want to come and help." Yeah. So the third day, I went to downtown and looked for the union office. I can't find anything. I spent the whole day. Then finally, I heard somebody in the Filipino hall that is closed most of the time anyway, you know.
Yeah.
So in the evening, there was some kind of affair over there, and I said that, tonight there will be a meeting of the union. So I stayed and went to the meeting, and from that time, I was there for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you left work, went to downtown Delano looking for the
office.
Union, office of the union.
Yeah, no office.
You could not find it. And you ended up going to the Filipino Hall, or did somebody tell you to try that?
Well, I have been going to the hall, but I don't find nobody.
I see.
And then in the evening, I went over there, and then I said that, because I saw some people there,
right,
because there was some kind of an affair, you know. Then I was asking about the union, and they said, oh, they will have a meeting here tonight. So I stayed. And from there, I never went back to work. For 12 consecutive years.
All right.
Until now.
Okay. So you were involved in with this strike during its third day. The union.
Third day.
Third day.
Yeah.
And you stayed on.
Yeah. Well, because you see, I have been interested in also. I didn't need anybody to kind of come and organize me, because I have information about union by reading,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I didn't need anyone to convince me that the union is good for the worker.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was good for the worker if we could get together. You know?
Mm-hmm. And at the time, AWOC was what we might call a Filipino affair, more or less, because its membership was mostly Filipino.
Filipinos, yeah.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you do as a striker, as an AWOC striker? What were your duties? Or let's put it this way, who are the leaders of this strike at the time?
Well, it was the first time that I get and look at Larry Tleong and Ben Gines.
Mm-hmm. They were the leaders.
Yeah. And then later, Andy came in.
Andy Imuta.
Yeah. Well, Andy just come home, I just came to the United States from the Philippines. And the reason why he was there was because of his wife, who came in first to the United States, because she got her parents here in Delano, who were also working the farm. And so Lu Ming, the wife of Andy, also worked with them. And so when there was a strike, they were included, you know, they were also there. And then later on, after a few days, then appeared Andy. He just come from the Philippines, you know. Well, Andy, of course, is a guy who never worked in the grapes. See, he does not know about the grapes. But of course, he was interested, and he was in.
Mm-hmm.
That was it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so... and then, of course, soon after that, you were joined by the Mexican Agricultural Workers Association, is that what it was? On a national...
The National Farm Workers Association.
Farm Workers Association.
Yeah.
Headed by Cesar Chavez.
Well, this is the impression that I got. Green was not there all the time. Because he was posted in Stockton.
So who was Green?
He was the director of the AWOC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then there were three organizers paid by the FLCIO under Green. It was Larry Tleong, Ben Gines, and Pete Manuel. But when I got into the union, I never saw Pete, you know. I saw him outside, but he was not in the union anymore, you know. And then I found out that there was kind of friction, you know,
between these guys, like Larry and Pete. Mm-hmm. Because one time, you went to San Francisco and they keep on arguing, you know. Because I don't think it was proper, but there's a difference in opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then Larry and Ben Gines were the ones who were in charge. But the way I saw it was that since Larry was kind of number one, meeting with the union leaders of FL-CIO, and Ben was kind of in charge of the picket. So they got some kind of a different job. I don't know if that was arranged by Mr. Green or what, but that's the way I found out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know Ben, and I was also getting to know both of them because I'm new to them.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Larry one time in Seattle, Washington, when I went to Alaska, but that was it. I have not even talked to him. And Ben, he was not in the land before. I don't know where he was. But when the first time I met him was when he repaired my watch, that was all. Then the second time we met, that was in the union. And Ben, he was working. He was working hard. You know. Now, how we perceive the union is kind of a different story, you know. We have a different kind of motivation, I guess. I don't know, or a difference, in a way. Because I got into the union with the general impression that a union for American workers, as I considered the Filipinos as part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, I think, it was beneficial for the workers, whoever they are, you know. And so that's how I was working on that precept of, or the concept of a union. But it developed into like kind of the language was Spanish, and though I talk Spanish for 2 years in high school, it's not enough for me to understand, you know, when it is discussed or being talked in the union. I cannot express myself in that thing, and I don't understand what's going on. I got an idea, but I don't understand the whole thing, you know. Now, it kind of handicapped the other people who don't speak Spanish. And then, of course, the reason is because most of the people there in the meeting are Mexicans, and they cannot speak English. So there you are, you know.
Yeah, okay. In other words, when the National Farm Workers Association joined the strike, they and the AWOC joined in having meetings together. Is that what you're saying?
Well, let me tell you what I've learned through these guys. According to Caesar, because I asked, but I don't get the whole picture. Caesar said that Al Green went and asked for help, and they kind of accepted, you know. And then I don't know what other things considered, but what Caesar said was that he didn't go back, you know. And so I found out, is it going?
No, yeah, it is going.
I found out that there is some kind of friction between Green, a white guy, and in the Mexican side, see. So there's a problem of rivalry of the directorship, because Green was appointed as director. The director of organization of the CIO, which was taken by Mr. Kircher.
And but see, culture was a factor of uniting the two factions, you know. And he worked on that. Then I heard that, but you see, this one I heard was not kind of verified, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just telling what I heard. And then also I found out that Larry and Andy have been going to them.
But, but
they were not telling.
To the National Farm Workers Association.
Yeah, to their side, you know.
To Cesar Chavez's group.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
According to what I understand, transpired in our conversations, was that Larry was asking for help. That they shouldn't be working while we were striking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, kind of agreed. And then when culture came in, because here comes the conflict between green and culture and Bengalis, you know, because culture tried to get the our side to cooperate with Caesar, because they are making a march to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Green did not approve about the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And then that was the theme that was kind of humbled by the migrant ministry and others who, from the churches and so on and that. That we were kind of fighting for civil rights and the union, you know? Mm. They're kind of mixed up together. The issues are kind of
mixed up.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And then I talked to Mr. Green one time and I said, Mr. Green, you know, what about these students? And he said, oh, well, you know, you can depend on that, you know, they just come here and mess up. That's what he said.
I see.
I'm just quoting exactly what
right.
he said. Yeah. It's just a mess. You know, you'll have more problems if you get them in. You see. Well, in the other side, it's not so, because it was the students that kind of built up Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he had been going, talking to Berkeley and some other places because of the non-violent student movement, you know, free speech movement, all that thing, you know, and then the Peace Corps and all that thing, you know, and everything, the
uh-huh.
the Protestants in the church, the Catholic churches are kind of agitated of helping the union to grow, because I think the propaganda of guilt, what do you call it, the sin of guilt that was practiced by the Anglos towards the Indians. And it was kind of awakening their consciences, you know. And so there, it's a kind of complicated thing. As I said, culture vanished. He succeeded in putting the two together.
Okay.
And then the arrangement was that Caesar will be the director and also Larry Tlong will be second to Caesar. And then Green was out because he also made some mistakes, like for instance, the Teamsters Union is not a part of the AFL-CIO. They are kind of antagonists, you know.
Yeah.
And then I remember we went to, I forgot the name of the town now, we went over there to a meeting someplace. And then it was a Teamsters Union, so.
I see.
Wanted us to go there.
In other words, Green with the AFL-CIO.
Yeah, and then like that common office.
Was cooperating with the Teamsters
Union,
who
yeah.
are not members of the
AFL-CIO
yeah. at the time.
So he violated some kind of a principle,
right.
you know.
Okay, so he was out and as the merger took effect.
Yeah, right.
And what was the general attitude of the Filipinos toward the merger? What was the effect of that?
That was very good.
I want to be honest about it. You know, that Ben was against it. And I think I counted about 9 of them. But most of us were for the merger, you know. Now, the reason that they told me was that they are greater in number,
mm-hmm.
and then we are just few in comparison with their numbers, you know. Then they said, that, even Ben said that to me, that someday when they'll be in control, they will not have any more chance. The Philippines will not have any more chance because you got to follow what they say. They run it, you know. So that was the argument. And then, as for me, of course, it could be true.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
But the principle of togetherness in labor unions is stronger for me.
So personally, you were highly in favor of the
merger. Yeah, I was. And that's why I was kind of defending the union then. Mm-hmm. And I was in good feeling at the time because it was my belief that putting the unions, the workers together, regardless of their ethnic groups, or origin, or nationality, or color, they could be together.